Welcome to American Reds, Tribal Rant's unofficial podcast for the FX series, The Americans. I'm Michelle.
And I'm Mike.
And tonight we're podcasting The Americans, Season 4, Episode 7, Travel Agents.
What do you think they called it, Travel Agents?
I think they called it Travel Agents because Oleg and Tatiana became the Travel Agents in this
episode. I
think
they've all become Travel Agents. Everybody on the Russian side in this episode, don't you?
Yeah.
They're planning Martha's trip.
They are. We're definitely planning a trip.
There's a question as to whether or not, though, she's going to show up for it.
Yeah, the whole episode was about connecting Martha with safe passage out of town, in theory. Anyway.
Well, not just that. I mean, a series of transports. Because they were talking about, you know, getting her to Cuba and then getting her
out
of Cuba.
Yeah.
And all they had to do is get her to Cuba, and pretty much she's golden.
Right, but it was a whole just like travel agents would do.
Yeah, they had to coordinate different legs
of
the
trip
and different modes of transportation. Yeah, it was pretty elaborate.
Well, the air date was April 27th, and I got a text this morning from Mike from West Coast Project, and he said to offer you his condolences because he believes that your girlfriend Martha is not long for this world. He doesn't trust, I don't think, their plans for Martha.
Well, he's just being cynical because Martha is
You think Martha's going to be just fine?
Martha's going to be in next season.
I've got a completely... You don't know that, do you? You haven't heard that anywhere.
Well...
No.
Well,
okay.
No.
I've got...
You heard it here first, folks.
Okay, I've got a completely different theory on Martha and what all that is and what's going on, but we'll get to that in a little bit. In looking at the overall...
Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. That's what I've been working on. What did you come up with?
Okay. I felt like there was, like, dual kind of overriding themes in this episode.
And what were they?
One was just details. We got into so many... I mean, everything about this, it was like pick apart little details. And I got a couple different places that I'll point that out as we go along, my thoughts on it. But the other thing was the huge realities that several people had to face based on new information, based on emerging facts. They were like resigned to the way things were. What's that look? What was your overriding theme?
Well, I'm glad it wasn't the same as yours. But I thought that the overriding theme was hindsight and remorse. Because Philip, the whole time, this whole episode, he is so just if only, if, you know, is this You know that he would not, this was not the way he would have wanted this to turn out. And he's very remorseful. He's very remorseful. Gad, in the same way. Gad is when they're searching Martha's house, Adderholt and Stan come over and look at him looking out the window, and he is just so down and so dejected, and he's so remorseful, and he's, how could I not have known? And then... you've got Martha. She's so remorseful.
Well, I think it's kind of the same thing that I said, only it's just a different way to look at it. I looked at it.
I would have expected you to say that.
In place as being remorseful, I looked at it as like a resignation. Like these people were facing a harsh reality.
Yeah, they've all been smacked in the head.
With
and now they're
facts,
left with their emotions dealing with the remorse and the aftermath of this situation.
Right.
And all of them in their own different way. Gad, Philip, and Martha particularly.
Yes, I agree. And as more facts are being found out, as we're learning more facts, they're having less and less opportunity to shy away from it. It's slapping them in the face more.
Oh, they got to deal with it now. It's here.
What it is. They can't look away. We start out with Oleg and Tatiana. Like we said, it's the very beginning of the episode, being travel agents. They are trying to get her out of the country.
Right, get her to Cuba.
Right, without going through the proper channels that people go to get out of the country. I wonder, I was thinking about how...
Well, there's no proper channels to get to Cuba, even today.
How different would that have been? How much easier do you think that might have been in the 80s than it would be today?
I think it'd be a lot easier, don't you?
It seems like it would. I mean, it's all underhanded anyway. It was underhanded even then, so maybe not. I don't know.
We didn't have the coverage along the coast that we have now. And we certainly didn't have the surveillance capabilities that we have now.
I think that's an important point. They need airfields they can use that won't be questioned, and they need a pilot. And Oleg says he'll get the pilot. Well, Philip and Elizabeth walk back into Gabriel's house, and this is where they're...
I know, and Gabriel...
4 minutes from the last episode.
Gabriel, you had one job. You had one job, Gabriel.
What did he do in that situation?
He had one job.
What, I don't think Gabriel failed at his job.
Gabriel, he walked out on the old... I mean, the senior KGB agent, and he got the little secretary from the office telling him, I'm going to scream KGB, and he's just standing out there with his cane in his hand. Can't do a thing, Gabriel. I mean,
couldn't he have followed her? Wouldn't he have maybe just followed her? Because then, I mean, what was she going to do? I guess she could have screamed. She could have. And Martha would have. See, I believe that Martha was completely out of control.
Martha went to Crazy Town for just a minute. She was really.
And she did it again in this episode.
On
but Elizabeth
the border
got control of it.
Of damaging our relationship. But I'm going to overlook this.
Philip's getting the news about, Philip and Elizabeth are getting the news about Martha, but they're also bringing Gabriel the rat. And can we just talk for a minute about how tough Gabriel is? I can't believe he's so willing to handle this again when he just about died of glanders, a week ago? He's still hacking from the glanders, and they're bringing
him... him another disease, yeah. He's still hobbling on his cane. He's holding the cane with one hand, the rat in the other. I thought there for a second, when he looked at it, that he was going to hand it back to Philip like they did before.
Like they did before. Yeah, I played hot potato.
You know, and then Philip reminds Philip, you know, she's seen your face and what that means. You know, that's code for we're going to have to kill her.
Well, and we hear that again and again.
Over and over.
Yeah, they do say it. And we see again the dead rat. And we called Martha kind of, you know, the rat last time. It's certainly what she's looked at in the FBI office.
Yeah, but she's not ratting on them.
No, but we see a dead rat.
But she's
threatening
to.
And then we know Martha, I know. I mean, I'm not completely convinced that Martha's going to make it out of this, okay. Gabriel's asking Philip, it's your wife. What would she be doing? And then Philip starts talking about all the different
things.
Well,
no, did you see the look he gave Elizabeth, the exchange, when he said, it's your wife?
Yeah.
He looked over and, yeah.
Yeah. And all of these intimate kind of things, he's talking about them seeing the cherry blossoms and having a picnic here, and she goes to church here. And I know that Elizabeth realizes what Philip does, but to hear those details, you can tell it stings her.
She's handling it pretty well.
I told you last time, though, that she is jealous, or maybe the time before. I knew she was jealous, and
she's
I think
jealous,
it plays out in here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later, though. She overcomes her jealousy pretty well, I think.
Philip's saying it's a needle in a haystack, and Elizabeth points out that, like you said, that she's seen his face. So they decide that Elizabeth and Hans are going to go looking, but Philip is going to go wait by the phone in case Martha calls.
Smart move.
Yeah, it turned out to be a real smart move.
It turned out to be the saving move.
Right. Gabriel tells him that if she screams in public again, they'll have no choice.
Right,
and
exactly.
And kind of lets it go off. And in other words, if Martha isn't careful, the rat in the freezer won't be the only dead rat in this episode.
They're all getting aligned on the same page that, hey, look, this has gone as far as we can let it go. And I think they're doing that for Philip's benefit.
Well, Philip agrees, but he just barely nods to agree. He doesn't like this. And this is where I pointed out that he kind of resigned himself, too. You know, we're talking about other people facing reality and stuff. Like you were saying, I think this is one of the places at the beginning that Philip is facing the reality. Martha may have to go, and he's got to face that.
But he understands that.
He does understand it, but I don't think he wanted to see it, and he's forced to see it in this episode. It's one of those forced resignation things. Okay, I'm resigned to the fact that if things go this way, this is how this is going to happen. And he kind of almost like resigns himself to it.
I think your theme is probably better.
Oh, I don't know. I think yours
everything is forced. Everything is, it's just this a theme of forced resignation on everybody's part, mainly Philip, Martha, and Gad.
Yeah, I agree.
They've resigned to... They've just faced reality. They've had to come to grips with the real what's really happening here. And are we going next to the FBI office?
Well, yeah, we have the intro, and then we come back, and we're right into the into Gad's office. When Stan and Adderholt walk in and just kind of they don't even say a word. They walk in and look at him, and he just gets up and they go in the vault.
Kick everybody out of the vault.
Right. Minneapolis found a Clark Westerfeld grave. It was a 7-year-old little boy who died in a car accident who had the same date of birth as, and they were calling it the Clark Westerfeld
twin. Okay, that makes more
sense.
Yeah,
because I couldn't figure that out. I thought that was a little convoluted.
And that used to be the general tactics that one would use to get a fake identity. You just find somebody about your age, go back in the obituaries, find somebody who died young, who was never issued a Social Security card or anything like that.
Because back then, we didn't get Social Security cards till we were older.
I know.
Even we didn't. You didn't get them at birth.
You could go get one issued. As soon as you got your Social Security card issued, you could go get a driver's license. Now you've got to pitch your ID under this person's Social Security number with all this person's information.
It's identity theft. Martha's boyfriend has a fake identity is the conclusion that Gad
is forced
to come.
But that's the realization. That's, he goes, well, that's it then.
It's another one. I know it's the nail in the coffin for Gad is what I put down right here. He looks incredulous by how big this is and how it all went on right in front of him, and just and he was oblivious to every bit of it. He's resigned to the truth of the matter.
He's the head of counterintelligence for the FBI.
I know. Well, he wants a sketch artist and the super of Clark Westerfeld's building brought in because he wants to get some kind of picture, kind of image of Clark Westerfeld. Philip's dropping Elizabeth dressed as Jennifer off and telling her to call every half hour. We keep saying Elizabeth. I didn't know whether to call her Elizabeth or Jennifer in this because she's dressed as Jennifer, but
she's Elizabeth.
And they have like this conversation where she's real sensitive to him right here. She's telling him that it's not his fault. And he says, but he shouldn't have left her alone. She didn't know Gabriel, and they're having this whole conversation. And he wants Elizabeth to call him every half hour at the call center girl. Her name's Joan, I think, at that place, and check in. And she points out again, hey, Philip, by the way, in case you didn't get it before, Gabriel's right.
Yeah.
And he says he knows. So then we go to the FBI going through Martha's apartment. You kind of touched on it a little bit earlier. And was that a thorough investigation?
It was thorough for the 80s. They do them even more thorough now. They've got stuff. They've got, like, lights they put stuff under. I mean, all kinds of crazy technological advancements since that time. But the thing that struck me was just, was Gad is really, he is really down on himself now. He is just, he cannot get over it. He is.
Well, I don't think he's going to be able to get out of this. I don't think this is certainly not going to be a good thing for his career.
No. He's not going to get a letter of recommendation out of this one, no.
Well, Philip goes to the call center girl's place, Joan's place. And now, I don't think these two have ever met, have they? Because they didn't act like they had. And when Philip walked in, he looked kind of impressed with the amount of electronics that she had in there.
Well, she asked him, did you meet the person
the
who had
other
my
person
job
too
before
right
me, and he said no.
Right. And she said, and plus Philip,
you're probably right,
earlier had, when he mentioned to Gabriel that he wanted to go there, Gabriel said, I'll get the address too. So I don't think Philip had ever met her. I don't think he'd ever met her.
I think you're probably right.
So this is a new experience for Philip. And then he's telling her that he needs maps and buses. He wants all the information, and she's just like, you know, there to help. She tells him if line two calls, that'll be Martha.
Right.
So then we go to Martha, and she's walking down the street.
She's freaking out. She's seeing a Russian agent. Every other person she thinks is a Russian agent.
Martha is running from all the acronyms
she
at this moment, isn't she?
Those black Chryslers driving around thinking it's
the
FBI. No, the FBI, the
KGB.
Everybody's after her, and she is flipping out.
Yeah. Well, then we go to commercial and we come back, and Clark is mapping out where Martha might be. He's using a compass on a map and,
doing like a radius of how far she could have gotten on foot.
Right. And Joan gives him some borscht that she made.
I know. We're going to have to try some of this.
Yes, though, we are. I know.
The main ingredients, like beets.
It's beetroot soup.
Yeah, and you can eat it cold. You can drink
it.
You can make it very thin. You can make it very hearty. There's very different variations. You know, it's an Eastern European thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it originated in the Ukraine.
Yep.
It's whatever. He points out that it has ginger in it, and she's very impressed.
Yeah, he picked that out, yeah.
At his details. See, he's like picking out these details. There's like these details in all this stuff. It's like, I mean, opening up a tampon tube and melting ice cubes. I mean, they're just really into this stuff for the details. And then Philip's able to even pick out the ginger in the borscht. But yeah, we should definitely try that. We're actually not even making fun either. We're beat fans.
Yeah.
Elizabeth calls, and neither of them have heard anything yet, but Elizabeth's still reassuring him, and he tells her to check the viaducts because Martha used to go there when her mother was sick and she was scared she'd have to go home and take care of her. We didn't hear anything about that, but you know that has to resonate with Elizabeth too, with her mother being ill when she was young.
Yeah, Elizabeth, she's really stepping up in this episode as far as Martha goes, if you ask me.
Well, Clark doesn't want the borscht, and he doesn't want anything, and he's not had borscht in a long time, he says. So that was just a pretty interesting little thing with that soup. I bet that stuff makes a mess if you spill it. You know how beets stain everything. Well, the whole FBI gang is in the vault looking through evidence. They're going through Martha's photo albums, and we get to see her as a little girl. Do you pay any attention to those pictures of her?
Yeah, those looked like her as a child.
It looked just like her, I know. And we saw a necklace that's tarnished, so it was presumably old. I don't know, I feel like that necklace should have had some kind of meaning, but I don't remember. I couldn't remember anything about it, could you?
No.
Because they kind of focused on it for a little bit. Gad asked about the church she went to, and Adderholt just happened to know because Martha told him that she went to First Trinity. And then they start talking about her savings account.
Yep.
3 days ago, Martha's depositing money into her savings account, and she hasn't withdrawn anything.
Right.
If I were them at this point, I would be afraid Martha was dead. And I don't think that's at all what they were leaning toward. But if I didn't know, if we hadn't seen the whole other side, I would think Martha was dead.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because she just disappeared, and no money's touched, and everything in her apartment's exactly the same. And
yeah, but they find out pretty soon that she's not
dead.
Well,
right here, actually, yeah.
Well, they're trying to get Stan, they're trying to tell Stan to go strong-arm Oleg, you know. They're wanting to play what they think is their trump card on Oleg, which is that tape.
What tape are we talking about?
Well, he taped Oleg in the car talking.
That's what I thought.
About... about Nina.
Yeah.
And Stan, you know, has something now on Oleg that can get him in trouble with the Russians. And they want him to now they want to burn this tape to try to find Martha. And Stan says, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, he won't do it. I mean, he just refuses to
do it. He's refusing from, I guess that guy was the assistant attorney general or something.
The deputy.
Yeah, the deputy. Remember, they're in D.C. I mean, these are some high-ranking feds. These guys are big-time guys. And he's just saying no. He's not.
Well, he tries to appeal to him at first. He says that blackmail isn't going to work with him. Oleg isn't cut like that. They'll have to play the long game. And, you know, I mean, he's explaining to him why he doesn't want to do this, that it's not going to work for him to do that.
And then his point is made when Martha calls. His point is made for him. When she calls, that's evidence that they don't have her and they don't know anything about her.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even put those together. That's a really good point. Yeah.
Well, he even mentioned it. Stan said, hey, look, you know they don't have her.
Right there. Right.
Right there. But that's absolute evidence. And it really supports Stan's, at least in Gad's mind, it should. You know, hey, this guy, he's right. His instincts are right. I should listen to him more. It's what I would be thinking if I were Gad, because you know they got this tenuous relationship since the director has got Stan reporting straight to him now.
Well, Martha's on the phone with her parents, and the FBI has tapped her parents' phone line.
Yeah, and they're listening to the conversation.
she tells her dad that she's in so much trouble, it's just not working. And then she does all this, no matter what you hear, I want you to know that I love you. And of course, he's like, you're our little girl, it's okay, whatever, you know. And she's just like, she hangs up. This was a Martha resigned moment. Martha's resigned based on her situation that she's never going to see or likely even speak to her parents again. And it was a devastating kind of moment for her.
Yeah.
Stan says that they wouldn't let her make that call, not with them on the line, and so they don't have her. He points that out completely clearly, like you just said. And the phone rings back, and they have traced the call. They know exactly where she was making that call
from. Park.
Which makes me nervous later on in the scene, right? Because the FBI is swarming.
All over that park, and she's out there.
I know. Well, then we go to Martha, and she's on the bridge. Now, what were you thinking when she was up on top of that really tall bridge?
I mean, what anybody was thinking. She was thinking about jumping.
Right, particularly right after that telephone call with her parents. It was like, that was like a goodbye call.
Yeah, and she's standing up there looking down at the rocks.
Well, we go to a commercial, and we come back, and I don't know if you noticed in this episode, and I don't think I've noticed it before, but we had some really cool True Detective-esque kind of shots of the roadway from up high. It was really cool how they did this in this. It's hard to sometimes pay attention to that kind of stuff in an episode that's so heavy with content like this was, but mm-hmm. It gave you like this little momentary, wow, that's really beautiful. But Stan and Adderholt are sitting outside the payphone that Martha was actually on, and they're watching the phone, and they're talking to others and talking about how far out they need to go and what amount of time and all that kind of stuff. And as they drive away, the bridge is in the forefront. That's how close they are. This bridge that they just showed Martha on, they ended the last scene with Martha on this bridge, and they're driving, and the bridge is right
there.
They're
on it.
In the forefront. Right. Yeah, and he's asking if that's not the bridge that was in the picture with Martha and her parents where she had on the maroon coat.
Right, yeah.
I mean, what kind of, again, remember my little details thing? What kind of attention to detail is
well,
that?
Well, they are, you know, in the FBI.
That's incredible, though. I mean, looking through a photo album and you can remember that. I'm telling you, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with that. And he goes on to say that the phone call sounded like goodbye, and maybe she went to the bridge.
Then they start looking around down near the rocks, and Adderholt's down low, and Stan's up top looking, and they don't see anything
that would lead them to believe that that was right. But Joan asks Philip if he's ever met the person who did the job before, and she seems nervous about this, right?
Yeah, because they accelerated her coming over, as she said.
And she had a bad feeling.
Yeah, the other person was replaced pretty quickly, and she didn't know what happened to him. So I think she's afraid of screwing something up that she might be replaced kind of quickly.
Yeah, or that somehow they're able to find out about the communications person and come in and get him.
Yeah, and find him.
What,
yeah.
Right. Well, the phone rings, and she can't even get her message across to him fully. But the phone rings, because the phone rings, and it's Martha. And she's completely stunned that Clark picked it up. And he just says he's been sitting there waiting on her to call. She accuses him of leaving her with a stranger, and he is not defending anything. He's going, I shouldn't have done it. I can't explain the emergency, but I'm so sorry. You know, we got to talk. He's doing his best to talk her in. And I didn't know if she was going to do it or not. Did you?
No, I didn't either. She's an excellent actress, which is why she's my girlfriend. But she's very convincing in her performance here that you just really don't know what she's going to do. I mean, you can look at her face and you can study her emotions, and she is just giving an absolutely superb, I am so torn, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right. I thought she was going to hang up on him like she hung up on her parents.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I didn't know what she was going to do. You couldn't tell what she was going to do.
Mm-mm.
She acknowledged she went a little crazy.
Well,
and she kept saying, I don't know what to do. I want it to stop. I want it to end. I'm just done with this. You wish I could go back, but I can't. It's hindsight's 2020. This is fantastic.
Well, Philip promises to tell her the truth, but she says he'll just tell her
some version of the truth
that's not very true.
I know. Yeah,
that was kind of funny. It was kind of pitiful.
I'm not laughing at my girlfriend, I understand.
No, you better not laugh at her. But he's really pleading with her, and so she finally tells him where she's at, and he says he's on his way. And then Clark is, man, he is out the
he's
door.
He's history. He's there.
So Elizabeth calls the call
Check
center
in, yeah.
right after that, and Joan tells her where Martha
she
is.
She does the same thing.
And
hangs up,
like,
says, "I'm close." Bam.
I'm close. See ya.
Yep.
I'm gonna be.
Poor
I'm
Joan.
Beat Philip there.
She's there. All she's got is her borscht.
Oleg goes to Tatiana and says he can't get a hold of his pilot, and Tatiana has found a pilot.
Right. You know how.
Tell me.
Well, she's working on that other project. Remember, you know why she's there, right? Her whole being, her whole mission
her,
there.
I don't know if it's her whole mission, but her main
her
mission,
main mission
certainly.
Is chemical warfare agents.
But nobody there knows this, right?
That's
nobody
right.
in this office knows this. This is between her and that transcriber, and that is the end, or the whatever that he's not a transcriber, but he's a message sender or something.
She answers directly to the center.
So
she's found her pilot for her mission, and so all she's going to do is use her pilot now for this mission.
Right, right. That's exactly what I thought about that too, about that scene, but. I'm wondering if she's not going to give the rat to Martha and make Martha this one last, maybe last, who knows, give her one last
I don't
last
know.
Mission.
I don't know how much more Martha can take. I mean,
well, I
you
think
know,
Martha.
Hey,
I
Martha,
think
we're
rat-
flying you to Russia. First, we're going to stop in Cuba. And oh, by the way, could you take this rat in the jar and give it to these people you never met that you can't speak their language?
I think Martha is going to fly with the rat, whether Martha knows she's flying with the rat or not. I think that
well, of course,
Tatiana has just gotten Martha a first-class seat on Dead Rat
Express.
Really?
Straight to
I
Moscow?
I really do. And, of course, she can't tell anybody that, right?
Right.
Because they don't know she's doing it.
Yeah, but it's this dovetails.
That's got to make it to Moscow.
Perfectly with
right.
her mission.
Martha's got to make it to Moscow. We'll kill two birds with one stone.
Kill two rats with one stone.
Yeah. When I first started thinking about it, all I could think of, because I thought, something's not right about this. You know, something's not right about her having just, oh, I found a pilot. I found one. No worries, Oleg. And then I started thinking, wonder if it was the same pilot that was on the airport shuttle.
No, that's
no,
not.
No, I know, but that was kind of where my thought process led me. And then it was like, no way, she has got a pilot that...
Already that she yeah. was looking for, getting set up to get this stuff out of the country.
Well, then we go to the scene where Elizabeth is scurrying through the park and sees Martha sitting on the bench.
Man, and this is where I was a little tense, because Elizabeth looks around, makes sure nobody's looking. She puts her hand in her pocket.
What was that all about?
I don't know.
I don't either.
But she approaches Martha, and Martha's still kind of crazy-eyed, looking around. She don't see Philip. And Elizabeth says, he's coming. Of course, I didn't. I thought
it would have been better if maybe Elizabeth would have just stood there and waited until Philip got there.
They couldn't.
Because,
they couldn't. There were FBI cars driving around the perimeter. You could see them. All they had to do was look over and see them.
Yeah.
She had to get her
I
out
know,
of there.
I know, but the way Martha was acting and the way she's prone to acting, I didn't know.
When she got right up on Martha and Martha started to hyperventilate again.
Yeah.
When Elizabeth punched her, I thought she had killed her.
I thought she stabbed her.
And you know what? This says something about Elizabeth, because Elizabeth had the green light to kill her if she started getting crazy again. And if Elizabeth really wanted her dead and really thought that that was the easiest way and she should be dealt with that way, this would have been Elizabeth's perfect chance. Nobody would have questioned Elizabeth. When Elizabeth had come back and said, I'm sorry, but she started screaming, I had to take her out,
right.
And I did. Nobody would have said anything, including Philip.
No, but it would have made Philip sad.
It would have, but that's
why...
Elizabeth
doesn't want to make Philip
this
sad.
This is why Elizabeth might be my new girlfriend, because she cares. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Martha. Forgive me, but Elizabeth just...
But Russia's far... Moscow's a long way.
And we're
these
still here. I know.
Relationships
but,
are hard.
I know. But anyways, Elizabeth really, really steps up here. I could kill her if I want to. I'm just going to punch her. I'm going to get her attention. I'm going to whisper
Which
these things in her ear.
She knocked the breath out of her so she couldn't
She
scream.
Said, you're going to live. This is what she left it with. do what I say and you'll live.
Mm-hmm.
You'll live. And she's very, very convincing. And Martha at this point should know, right now, in this moment, she should know that Elizabeth's telling her the truth, because she's right up on her. She punched her. She didn't stab her. She didn't shoot her. She's talking sense to her. She's got her attention. I think it's just a perfect Elizabeth, my new girlfriend, handled this perfectly with Martha, my old girlfriend.
Martha asks Elizabeth if she's sleeping with her husband.
I know, that was hilarious. And of course,
that was bad. I had to throw that in there because it was like,
Yeah, and Elizabeth, she lies as good to Martha as she does to Paige.
She's
she?
Not really lying. She's really sleeping with her own husband.
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, we can twist it, right?
Well, you can if you want.
Well, we go to a commercial and we come back, and this is where Philip gets to the park and he's looking around and he's calling for Martha. I thought Philip had lost his freaking mind.
He's going crazy town too. Now, wouldn't this have been a great place for a cell phone? I mean, a cell phone would have really come in handy here, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, right? But he goes to the payphone and I assume he calls Joan, who tells him, right? Because he goes to the payphone and makes a call. Okay, then we go to the scene where we have Henry and Matthew, and they're watching Brooke Shields' Calvin Klein.
I know it.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember those, yeah.
Matthew gets up and gets a beer, and Henry wants a beer. Now, Henry's like 12, we've decided. Matthew says that his father doesn't notice what he does, so he's cool with it, essentially. Henry said, well, it's not like I've never had a beer before.
Right, yeah. Henry
and his voice hasn't even changed yet. The doorbell rings and it's Paige, and she first thing she does is
Henry's busted. Yep. What are you drinking?
Matthew's beer, right? Yeah, but she's like, I'm not the ID police. Can I have one? And so she sits down.
But Matthew gives Paige a whole beer,
which makes Henry upset.
I mean, Henry's, and he goes, I look like she's 15, okay?
And then he says that his dad's an FBI agent, so if they drink them all, he will notice that.
Right, yeah.
And it's kind of funny. I kind of made a note here because we are talking and I brought up details so much. Stan definitely has a keen eye for details in his work.
Michelle, he's an FBI agent.
I know, but listen, I'm not done. But not so much with his personal life.
Isn't that the way it always is?
Is it? Maybe. Yeah. But how sad is that? Because he can remember from glancing at a picture, a bridge, and the color coat somebody has on. But he doesn't notice when he lives alone that beer is missing from his refrigerator. He doesn't notice.
I think he probably notices. He knows Matthew's sneaking a beer a couple.
Well, maybe. He may. But the point that I'm trying to make is he didn't notice. He didn't have the same intuition over the Sandra thing with Philip. He didn't pay any attention to Sandra. That was the problem. He's hyper-focused and really intuitive on all of these other situations. And in his home life, he's just a dolt. I mean, he just doesn't pay any attention. It's like he's taken that part of his attention span and moved it over here to his work schedule. And so he's super great at this, but just a colossal buffoon.
I don't think that he's a buffoon. I think he just chooses not to focus. He's lazy with his personal life.
Well, I mean, that's a buffoon.
Okay, well.
I think. If he doesn't have anything left to give his family, now he's alone and he's miserable and he's confused as to why, but he can do all of this kind of minute detail focusing, and all Sandra wanted from him was some attention.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, all this attention's here.
That's a really good observation, I think.
Well, they sit and watch TV, and Paige pours Henry some of her beer because, so, that's kind of like saying, I think, I can't get you in trouble because I gave you some. You know,
right.
I sat down and did it with you, so you can trust me. They're forming some kind of, like, little bond there. Because Henry was like, when she asked what he's drinking.
Right.
Okay, then we see Stan, and he's getting a soda from a machine. He's getting a Coke. But we just saw in the previous scene that Henry and Matthew were drinking, before the beer, they had Pepsi on the table. So isn't it funny? They had the old Pepsi cans. I don't know if you remember them or not.
I remember the old Pepsi cans. Yeah, just about three colors.
Anyway, I was just noticing the product placement. And usually, it seems like these places, these TV shows pick one product, but they're not. They're picking, having different products on in there. So I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. Stan's updating Gad about what they're all doing and where they have people staked out and all this kind of stuff. And Gad tells him that the deputy attorney general went to the director saying that Gad can't control Stan. And Stan's like, so?
What'd you say? I told him to stay out of my department. And it's interesting what he said after that. He said, I learned that there's not much future in laying still and playing dead.
In Quezon, he said?
You know where Quezon
was? Vietnam?
Quezon, that tells us about Gad, see? Quezon was a Marine fire base in near the demilitarized zone, kind of inland in northern South Vietnam. It was very close to North Vietnam. It was a Marine fire base that did a lot of operations out of there. And in 1968, that fire base was surrounded by an overwhelming superior force of North Vietnamese soldiers. And there was a siege that lasted until they pretty much closed the base in July, I think, of 68. So, I mean, it was like a constant battle from January to for 77 days, I think. It was just like every day. They were calling in airstrikes. They were bombing these North Vietnamese surrounders, and every time they killed them, they just sent more and more and more. During this battle, during this siege, we lost 274 Americans with 2,500 wounded. Now, the figures about the killed in action North Vietnamese soldiers vary. The official figures are 2,500 roughly killed. Mm-hmm. But U.S. estimates were between 5 and 10,000 troops were killed. The battle only ended after they withdrew. They could have overrun Quezon at any time. And these Marines fought back as much as they could. Everything. They couldn't even land planes. They had to airdrop supplies in on their airstrip. But I mean, it was one of the worst battles, and it was the only time we ever abandoned a base.
Really?
Yes. We pulled out. We said, you've won. The North Vietnamese beat the United States at the Battle of Quezon, and I'm sorry if that hurts people's feelings, but that's the truth.
So Gad was there, is what you're saying.
Gad was there, which means Gad was in the Marine Corps, probably a Marine Corps officer, before becoming an FBI agent.
And he said there he learned not to lay down and play dead.
That's
really very interesting. But he also goes on to say that with Gene, the bug in his office, and now Martha, he's pretty much dead anyway.
Oh, I know. I mean, he's just like, I mean, he's
it's that reality.
Oh, he is so.
And this isn't even the end of it. There's still another thing coming up.
This is the best part, though.
It's the worst part. But we go back to Philip, and he's coming in, and Elizabeth's there with Martha, and Martha's in the bedroom. But he runs to her and says, you know, are you okay? And she's like, it's just a bruise. And she wants to know his name. And of course he says, Philip. And she goes, no, I want to know your real name. And he says, Mikhail, but everyone called me Misha.
That's what I call you.
I know. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny, these details that Martha is hyper-focusing on? It's another kind of detail thing with me. But isn't that funny? And it's so true. I know it's true of me. I want the details of stuff.
Boy, I don't.
And Martha, she wants, I mean, her life's fallen apart. She was an unknowing KGB operative.
But reality's really coming from Martha right here in this moment.
It is, but she wants to know his name. That's the kind of thing that's on her mind, that's playing in her mind, all these details. She had just had a conversation with Elizabeth in the park about the woman at their wedding, and that wasn't his mother, was it? And the man, that wasn't his, you know, father or whoever, she said. She's so, everything is unraveling before her.
Everything
and she
is, she's being slapped she's in the face with reality. She's having to deal with reality. I think that's probably the best theme for this, this episode.
Well, Philip goes into the kitchen to get her some ice, and he opens the freezer, and
there's a
dead rat. It's just like this reminder. It's just the reminder. I don't know. I was made a note here. I hope dead rat doesn't equal dead rat. So Arkady goes into Oleg and asks about the pilot, and Oleg says, oh, Tatiana got one. And they're looking at each other a lot. Did you notice that?
Yeah,
I told you last time.
I think Tatiana's maybe wanting to hook up with Oleg.
But Arkady tells them that they've got her. So, I mean, this has already been relayed back to them. That's pretty quick, right? I mean, they haven't had Martha at home long.
No, that's quick.
Well, Philip gets the ice to take to Martha, but Elizabeth stops him. And this is where she says...
She's very generous here.
Is that what she is? I think she's insecure.
I think she's being generous.
I don't think she's being generous. I think
she wants Philip to be happy. She's recognized this need to place people over mission for a long time. And I think that mm-hmm. she knows, or she thinks, that he cares more about Martha than he does about her. And he makes it very clear who he loves during this exchange.
Right.
And he said, "Are you crazy?"
Right.
"Are you crazy?" And he just looks at her. He doesn't have to say anything else. He goes, "I love you."
Right. We've said for a few weeks now that we think he loves Martha.
I think he does a little bit, but I think more than that. I think the overwhelming thing that he is feeling is, I can't believe what I did to this person's life.
Yeah, I think he's feeling that too. I do believe he loves Martha, and I do believe that if Elizabeth wasn't in the picture, that he would.
I think he cares about Martha, but he is in love with Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth is definitely his priority, and he makes that completely known.
Let me put it another way. He cares about my girlfriend, but he is in love with my new girlfriend.
With your new girlfriend, okay. She also points out again to him in this little scene that if Martha runs again...
I know it, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Look, yeah, it's like, look, Philip, I was kind this time, but you got to know.
Well, I mean, they just keep reminding him because, you know, they feel like he needs to be reminded.
Well, Tatiana's transcribing the bioweapon stuff with and how it has to be handled with the transcriber.
Handle with caution.
Yeah.
And that's where she leaves it.
Right.
What's she thinking after that? Because she kind of looks away. Is she thinking about Oleg?
No, I don't think so. I think she's thinking about sending that dead rat.
Yeah, but she's kind of smiling. She's kind of whimsical, isn't she? No, she looks away.
Was she there? I didn't think she was there. I thought there the idea was just kind of...
She just kind of looks away thoughtfully and,
yeah, I don't know.
And stops.
Maybe.
And the transcriber or the sender or whatever you want to call it says, "Is that it? Or what it?"
Yeah, but you got to understand what she's doing too, okay? Because what she's doing, she is working for somebody higher than Arkady. We know that. But she's interfering in a way with Arkady's mission here, which is to get Martha back home. So I think she's a little bit nervous about that. She is mixing the two, and I don't know that Arkady would approve of that.
Yeah, but you can tell that Tatiana enjoys her autonomy here, so that she can operate, you know, with impunity. She can do what she wants to do without having to check with Arkady. She doesn't really answer to Arkady, not really.
No, but she does. Even though she doesn't, in reality, she does answer to him. She shows respect to him.
She shows respect for him. But she knows that...
You would never know.
She's not working for him.
Arkady didn't know.
She's working for the center.
Yeah, but Arkady didn't even know that until recently. Okay, then we have the scene where Gad's knocking back the liquor.
Yeah, and Stan comes in and says something about her boyfriend or something.
Well, he shows her the picture. He shows Gad the picture. And Gad's like, "Who is this?" And he's like, "That's Martha." They didn't realize that we knew what Martha looked like. Gad, okay, this was a huge realization here that they were never going to find Philip, I think. Because they couldn't even Martha.
No, they couldn't even draw a correct picture of Martha.
Right.
Well, see, this is why just a slight
you're right.
disguise causes, you know, if you don't have a composite picture done... like if somebody's really trying to do a composite picture of you, they're going to maybe get close. But if they're trying to do a composite picture of you in a disguise they're not going to get close to your actual appearance at all.
Yeah, yeah, that was startling. He showed Gad that picture and Guy didn't know who it was, and then he immediately
so
followed
this is the boyfriend
here,
not
like,
boyfriend.
Oh, I know.
And he showed him the marriage certificate, and Stan is just, I mean, shocked mm-hmm. and stunned and deeply saddened.
Blood test and everything.
He's sitting there. He goes, "My secretary married a KGB officer."
He says they seduced
her
and
married my secretary.
I know.
And
I am
didn't
in charge
of counterintelligence for the FBI.
And my secretary
married a KGB officer. Yep.
And Stan's going, but maybe they fell in love. Maybe it didn't have.
Maybe they knew each other way back.
Right. He's saying maybe this didn't have anything
Dad's
to do.
Dad's not having any of that.
Well, no, because see, Stan is trying not to face the reality here, but Gad, he's got a little bit of liquid courage in him, and plus, he's got no other option. Gad's going, no, they did this to her. They picked her because, maybe not because of him specific, but because of him and his title. And
well, because
what
of his, because of her position.
Right.
It's obvious why they picked her.
I know.
She's perfect.
Stan's trying to think of anything else.
I mean, they hit the jackpot with Martha, did they not?
Yeah, and you know, when you think back to what they did with Martha, what Philip did with Martha, she thought she was working for the agency.
She thought she was working for an agency within the agency.
Right, that's what I mean. She didn't know she was doing anything wrong.
But they brought her along so gradually.
Over years.
By the time
3 years
she realized what's
out.
Going on, she's with Philip, or with Clark.
Well, then we have the, speaking of which, we have the scene where Philip's holding the ice to Martha's ribs, and he tells her that in the morning, early, she's going to Russia. And she's like, well, I can't go to Russia. I don't speak Russian.
Yeah, I don't know anybody.
I mean, she's
there.
Got like every,
when will you be coming?
I know. Now, Elizabeth just told him.
She just told him.
Tell her you're going to be there.
That you're going to be there later, so she'll get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip has just decided that he's going to tell the truth.
He told her he would.
He sure did.
He told her when on the telephone call that he would tell her the truth.
He's a Russian counterintelligence spy of his word, is he not?
He is. That's exactly what he is. I wonder what that acronym would be.
Well, we can't do that.
But how pitiful was that?
She looked away and realization, really, this is where the biggest realization of the entire episode comes in.
I agree.
And she says, I'm going to be just like I was before I met you. I'm going to be alone.
I felt like that. I mean, that hurt me. I mean, look at me. I'm literally tearing up.
Could you tell how bad it hurt Philip too?
Yeah, I mean, yes.
It really hurt Philip.
Martha is broken here. She's absolutely broken. And she reminds us that she finally had something, or she thought she did anyway, and Philip just told her, you never did, and what you thought you had is being taken
away.
And
now it is over in a real, real brutal way.
He says that they'll take good care of you, they'll treat you with respect and honor, they realize your sacrifice, but all I can think of is they're going to put you on a single-engine airplane with some guy and a dead rat full of some kind of,
And one of you are more likely to make it to Moscow than the other one.
I don't know how honoring that is. By the way, I'm a little bit upset at your willingness to just, Martha's gone, so I'll just run on to Elizabeth.
Well, I'm not. No, that's not it. Elizabeth has shown herself to be worthy of.
I don't know. You're kind of that's kind of you're not very loyal.
Well, what am I going to do? I mean, if Philip can't go be with her, I can't either.
Well, okay. So then we see Elizabeth at home, and she's getting ready for bed, and she looks at herself in the mirror. She's just like kind of thoughtful. We see Martha. We go to Martha, and she's laying on her side, wide awake, and Philip's laying on his back.
Yeah, there's no stress management going on here in this scene.
No stress management for any of them.
Nope.
And that was the end.
And then they show the next episode. Don't even talk about it.
I gotta talk about it.
They didn't show us anything. We saw Martha on a plane.
We did. She is on a plane.
She's on a small plane.
Yes. A single engine, we presume, plane. Gad is saying it stands operation and he can't lose sight of who these people are. That. Elizabeth is saying it happens. We lose agents. So that's not a good sign.
I know. I bet it's William. What do you bet?
You think it's William?
I think it's William.
Why would it be William?
Or it could be Martha.
It could be Martha.
Because they're referring to Martha as an agent.
Philip's saying something about contacting Martha's parents, and Gabriel's saying that he knows that wouldn't be possible, but Philip says things can be arranged. Because remember, he did promise Martha that he would let her parents know. He would find some way to let her parents know. Paige is pitching some type of fit and saying she can't control the way she feels. And then we see Pastor Tim. And then Elizabeth is really, she's kind of screaming. We don't see this face of Elizabeth too much. And she's saying, that's all that stands between us and this family being destroyed.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's really, I mean, like veins sticking out on her head. She's pretty mad, so.
Yeah, this Pastor Tim thing has got to be, I'll be happy when this is handled. I don't like his haircut.
Is it the haircut? I think he's got the same hair disguise. I still think he's got the Clark haircut. Well, we hope you'll connect with us here at Tribal Rant and become part of our American Reds podcast. So, Mike, if people want to tell you, that's not what happened in American
Reds. At Mike from TN.
And I'm at Michelle from TN. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TribalRant. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, so you can subscribe to us there. Please like us and rate us if you like what we're doing. And, of course, all this information is on TribalRant.com, where you can email us or leave us a message. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget, we started back with the Fear the Walking Dead podcast, only a few episodes into it so far, so you have plenty of time to catch up if you've missed out. It's on TribalRant.com, and it's called Fear the Walking Prequel. We also have a Survivor podcast that we do every week, so if you guys like Survivor, check out that podcast. The Tribe Has Spoken, and it's here on TribalRant.com. And if you can't get enough of the Americans, we can't blame you. Our friends Mike and Jamie over at West Coast Project do a The Americans podcast. That's, like everything else over there, really good. So if you want more and want to hear different views, check them out. It's at WestCoastProject.com. So, did we cover everything in this episode, you think?
Yeah, I think we got everything handled. I'm fairly happy with our assessment of things.
Okay. So next week, The Magic of David Copperfield, and it's either Verses or 5, Roman numeral 5, I can't tell. Hmm. The Statue of Liberty disappears. Do you remember when that happened?
That's the name of the episode.
That's the whole name of the episode, The Magic of David Copperfield. Hmm. The Statue of Liberty disappears.
No, I remember that.
I do too.
Yeah.
You think David Copperfield did make the Statue of Liberty disappear?
I know for a fact that David Copperfield did not make the Statue of Liberty disappear.
I don't
disappear.
Know. Do not disparage.
No, maybe Chris Angel could make
David
it. Could make the Statue of Liberty disappear.
All right. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.